Now, I would like to talk about something tonight. By the way, we want to make an announcement that due to cleanup, we had a tornado to come through this whole area. And it did some damage to the roof down, way down by the children's church in that whole area. So we've moved the children's church tonight to 151. And we'll have the children's church in the annex on Sunday. And so it'll be prepared for them on Sunday. So that's going to be June 5th. So just letting you know that people come, bring their kids, come to the regular area and go right to the annex. They'll bring the process to children in from right there. Also, comedy night is going to be Friday night, starting at 7 o'clock. Now, this for people who want to volunteer or people who have been volunteering. And this comedy night is a time of, you know, fun and so forth and so on. And refreshments will be served. So the doors open at 6, and it's going to be at 7 o'clock. Now, that's going to be in the annex as well. As you know, the annex is fairly large. Okay, let's open our Bibles, please. Now, I want you to get this tonight. This is good stuff. All right, let's go to Psalm 35 and verse 27. Psalm 35. But Psalm 35 and verse 27. He said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. All right, powerful scripture. Let's put it up in the NIV translation, please. Nope, not the NIV. Let's go to the Amplified. We'll go there and just stop there. All right, he says, oops, we have problems with our machine. Okay, it's not up here. Let's see it there. Okay. Can they put it on the large screens as well? Okay, let those who favor my righteous cause and have pleasure in my uprightness shout for joy and be glad and say continually, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Okay? Okay, came up there. All right, now, what this is saying is that God takes pleasure, or it brings pleasure to God to prosper his children. It brings pleasure. Now, some people, you got to say this, because some people have a different thinking about God and prosperity. But it brings pleasure to the Father to give prosperity to his children. Don't you just want to please God? Yes. Now, this word pleasure, it means high degree of enjoyment or delight. It means joy. So, a high degree of enjoyment and delight. God, when you're prospering, God gets a high degree of enjoyment. Man, that's good right there. Now, this scripture is talking about his servants. As you know, in the New Testament, we are his sons and daughters, okay? Now, follow me along with this, because I want to do a line upon line thing, because I got a feeling we could be much further along than most of us are. All right, let's see what it says. (Clears throat) When you and I are born again, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, we're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. All right. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 that we are now ambassadors for Christ. So you're employed in public relations. Praise God. Now, when people see your life now becomes a direct representation of the government you represent. I'll say it again. When people see your life becomes a direct representation of the kingdom or the government you represent. You become an agent for your government. So if people want to see what your government is like, they can look at you. Because you're supposed to be a billboard for your government. When I say that, I mean you're supposed to be something that they can look at and say, wow, I'd like to go there. You know, you see an advertisement of come to Hawaii. You know, they don't show you the natives who are back there struggling and trying to make it and so forth. You know, the military, I know when they got me there, you know, the recruiter tells you the good things. You can see the world, son. You can see the world, man. They don't show you getting shot at. They don't show you that. God doesn't want to show people with some kind of bad representation of his kids struggling and crying all the time and so forth. That doesn't make people want to go. Say amen. Amen. So God gets a high degree of enjoyment by you prospering. Yeah, you become a signpost for the kingdom of God. So come in here and you'll see what God can do for your life. All right. So let's go to another place. Now what I want to do is basically I'm going to talk about this new economy or how to tap into God's economy. All right, because this kingdom is a mystery. Look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 13, please. Matthew's Gospel chapter 13 in verses 10 and 11. Now watch this. And the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou to them in parables? All right, next verse. He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So it's given to you to know something that people who are not born again don't know. Now, when I preach this tonight, you're going to see how this is going to tie in tonight. So, mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery is something that is beyond natural human comprehension. That's why they call it a sign and a wonder. People say, I wonder what that was. My goodness. But it's a mystery. So, what he's saying is that it's given to you to know. In other words, God is going to give you revelation of how this mystery. And in this case, the mystery is how the kingdom operates. You know, I was out on a tennis court, and a guy was showing me the way he hits the ball. And this is what he did. This is what he did. This is so funny. He said, wait a minute. I said, what are you doing? He said, let me see if anybody's looking. No. I said, man, is it that secret? I mean, is he said, you don't know, the guy who showed me this would have people lined up for him to teach them because he had secrets as to how they could improve their game. And they were paying him big money. They say he flew him out. He used to, in the early days, he taught Serena and them so forth. And I'm saying that he was looking around. I said, what are you looking for? He said, I'm just seeing if anybody's looking. And I said, man, this thing must be dynamite. So I don't know whether I got it or not, but I amen. But to him, this was precious. And I'm saying that God's got some secrets as to how you can manifest his goodness. Do you follow what I'm saying? That the world not only doesn't know, but can't know. Because it's beyond human comprehension. And the only way you can get it is by a revelation. You can read this, but you can't get it that way. The Holy Spirit's got to reveal it. All right, let's go on down. Maybe you can see what I'm talking about. So, let's take an example. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24 and 25. All right, he says this. Okay. He says, There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, but tends to poverty. A liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. All right, let's go to the NIV translation of those two verses and see what it says. Watch this. Verse 24 and 25. He says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. And whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. All right? Now, this is a revelation of how the kingdom operates. In the world system, people get it and hold on to it and spend it, not knowing that the true system of God was made that you not try to add to yourself, but God will add to you. And the way he adds to you is you give him something to add to you with. So by you giving him something called seed, he then multiplies it back and gives it back to you. Because you were never designed to bear the weight of your own provision. The Father takes care of you. All right, now you say amen, but let's see, you believe this. All right, now let's go over to Luke chapter 5. Let's just look at this. Luke chapter 5, and you've known this teaching before. It's about Peter, and he's as a fisherman. Let's just start at verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. He prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, this is Jesus now teaching. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, draught means big increase, large increase. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have what? Have what? Toil all night. So, were you designed to toil? No. Not mental toil, not physical toil, not toiling about anything. You were never meant to worry one day in your life. All night. And have taken how much? Nothing. Nevertheless, at thy what? Word. Now, circle, highlight, word. Because the word there is not the same as the word in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. So here is Jesus teaching the word. Here's Bill Winston teaching the word. But the first word is the word logos, which means whole word. But then the next word you see down here in verse 5 is no longer logos. That word is rhema in the Greek, and it means spoken word. And spoken word is when the word speaks to you. Now, right now I'm speaking to everybody, but you watch as I'm teaching this, somebody is going to receive a rhema. And this is what you normally say. I see it. I see that now. Now, when he received the rhema, the Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth what? Light. So rhema is light. The reason why people can't progress or act on the word is because they don't have any light. And you were never made to go where you can't see. So the entrance of the word is going to bring what? Light. So once you get light, you'll move out. And what brings the increase, here's the key, is obedience and faith. I'll say it again. What brings the increase is obedience and faith. Faith and obedience, whichever way you want to put them. Now, I want to verify that. I want to show you this. Got it? So obedience and faith must go together to trigger the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, that as you sow, you will reap something. Got it? So anybody can't do this. First of all, the world cannot generate faith. They can have natural faith, but they can't have spiritual faith. They can't have the faith of God because they don't have the faith of God there. But my point to you is you have God's faith. Now, when you hear the word, what cometh? Faith comes. Now, God then calls you to act on something. Now, let me give you some keys. How am I doing so far? All right, here's the key. When you are acting on something, glory to God, that the instructions for 99% of the time seem to be a little unusual. Some people might say unreasonable. Now, I can go right through the Bible and I can show you that. The tendency is that you have to know the enemy knows your weaknesses. He saw you when you come in here. And he knows which way people are going to go. But once you get a rhema, you're able to go somewhere you normally would not go. Is this making sense to you? Now, my point to you is that normally Simon Peter would not launch out into the deep in the middle of the day, because in the daytime, I've seen it, folks, I've been witnessing, you cannot throw that big net out and catch those schools of fish. They will see that net and they are gone. So you cannot do it. But at night, you can throw it out. But he's not telling him to do it at night. He's telling him to do it in the broad daylight. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Now, let me put it up there again. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Put it up there again. And just look at it now. And let's look at it in the NIV, if you would, please. Thank you. All right, the NIV. All right. A person who gives freely yet gains more. Now, right there, you probably reading that And to you, you can't see any. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, then, okay, empty out your pocketbook tonight. Empty it out. Because that person is going to gain more. See, if you really believe that, you'll really invest in it. And I'm telling you, God is going to take you and take you and take you, folks. And when he got me up to so $400,000, I'm saying, whoa. But I've sown more than that now. But each time I increased. This is the wrong bunch. I'll have to wait on Sunday. My point to you is, it does not make sense because you can't see the sense in it until you get a rhema of it. And you get a rhema of it, folks. You don't have to depend. See, God wants to send you on assignment, and he might want to send you to teach in the school system. Well, in the school system, the job you might start at the entry level may not pay that much. But that doesn't mean you can't have a 7-bedroom home, because your home is not going to come by what they can pay you. You are from another kingdom, from another government, and you can use your government laws to sustain you independent of what you're going to bring into that paycheck. Now, if you keep hearing this and don't do it, then it gets hard in there. That soil gets really hard. So my point to you is you don't have to listen to me. The Holy Ghost is going to talk to you. The Holy Spirit, because his job is to perfect you. And he's going to take you from one level of to another level. If you don't believe it, ask me. And each time he takes you to another level, you have to take a deep breath. Okay. But watch this. The increase gets so big. Now, what am I able to do? I'm able to do much more than I ever been able to do before. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. Now, isn't that a good way to pay off your debt? Yes. Just sow a seed. Here comes the abundance. Now, I'm not done yet. So Peter launches out. So go to verse 6 now in Luke chapter 5. All right? Are y'all with me so far? And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And what happened to the net? Next verse. And they beckoned to their partners which in the other ships that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Watch this. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Now, why did he say that? What brought him to his knees? What brought him to his knees? The abundance, all right? The miracle, all right? Now, Jesus worked that miracle through Peter, almost without Peter being aware of what was being worked, because it's a law. You see, sowing and reaping is a spiritual law. Oh, man, y'all got to get this. Woo-wee. It is a spiritual law that when you have a need, what do? Just sow a seed. See, some people think, well, now you just giving to get. No, I'm giving because he said I can get and I can have all my needs met. And not only that, prosperity is going to make him laugh. You got what I'm saying? Now, here's the deal. I told you on Sunday. I said, if you keep getting this stuff and never give anybody or never bless anybody, what's going to eventually happen to your supply? It's going to start drying up because it functions out of love. It doesn't function out of selfishness. Are y'all with me on this? All right. So let's go to John chapter 2, please. How we doing? Doing okay? Verse 1, let's start there. And the third day, when the marriage of Cana of Galilee, wait, let me see what translation I had here. Well, I don't think I had any of the translations. Let's do this one. All right. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. Don't be distracted. I'm saying this. I'm saying obedience and what else?
Faith.
Let me turn over here. What did I say? Obedience and what else? Faith. Okay. Now, if you don't remember what I say within 5 minutes, how are you going to remember what I say overnight? I'm giving you what I do. This is where I do, folks. I just filled out my form today for my givings for this month. My wife just put on my desk the checks that she printed up, the things that we give to. We give to, you know, the paralyzed veterans and so forth. So, I mean, she gives it in. We give to it right here. I got my stuff right here. Wait a minute. There ain't but one. Did she put them all in there? No. Wait a minute. Man. I wonder, see, is my wife, yeah, call her and see if she, did I? I had about two or three envelopes here. And, you know, the devil, he's not going to steal anything from me. Anyway, what is this one? Okay. Wonder if she put more than one in there. I thought she put two in there. I'm just trying to see. I know she did. Okay. I got it. It's not going anywhere. Now, let's go to John chapter, what did I say?
Two.
Okay, let's look at that one. We're almost done, but I just want you to see this. Because you got to stop looking to your paycheck. That is called paycheck-minded. And when you do that, and you keep doing that, it'll start making you trust in that paycheck and that company more than you'll trust in God. And that's idolatry. You can't do that, see? All right, you gotta look to God. Yeah, he'll use the job to get you some increase. He'll use that. But my point to you is don't let that be your source, all right? Are you with me? All right, okay, let's put that up again, please, all right? Let's put up, all right, John chapter 1. And the third day was the marriage at Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." And the mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he says to you, what?
Do it."
That's obedience, right? And there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And then he said to them, "Draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast." And they bear it. Stop right there. What part of that is obedience and what part of that is faith? All of it. Okay. All right. Come back to verse 4 again, I think it was. Okay. And he said to the woman, "What does that to do with me? My hour is not yet come." Next verse. And his mother said to him, "The servants, whatsoever he says to you, what?
Do it."
What's that?
Obedience.
It's obedience. So whatever the Holy Ghost says to you, do it. Okay. Next verse. And when the ruler of the feast, wait a minute, the next verse after do it, please, just don't skip. And there were set There are 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 frictions apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they fill them up to the brim. What is that? Whoa, 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 whoa. All right, now wait a minute. How much faith does it take to fill the water pot up? I mean, you can fill the water pot up. I got a water pot up here, and I tell you, fill it up. You just fill it up. Now, let's look at the next part of that. Next verse. And he said to them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. That's where the faith comes in. The governor of the feast does not need to taste water. And you know it. He's looking for some good stuff. Let me focus over here. He's looking for some good stuff. Are you following what I'm saying? Each time, obedience and faith. Obedience and faith. Okay? Abraham, take your son up there. Obedience. Faith. Offer him up to me. Okay? Obedience and faith. Now, I'm just saying, each time. So the same thing about you in making that law work for you. Obedience and faith. See? The Holy Spirit knows what your level of faith would be. So he's not going to tell you to do anything that you're not going to get a return. Amen. Come on, folks. He's not going to do it. That's why Jesus is the author and developer of your what? Faith. So God is not going to have Jesus to lead you anywhere that you don't have the faith to overcome it. And he took them and said, let's go to the other side. What happened? The storm came up. What happened? They woke Jesus up. He rebuked the storm. Then he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why? He expected them to have what? Faith. You got it? She said, 1 but 1. Oh, okay. All right. The hand is quicker than the eye. I thought it was 2 there. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's 1. And that's not a small gift. This is a few thousand dollars. Ain't nothing small in the house. Okay, ain't nothing small in the house. I'm just saying, and I'm not telling you that to brag on myself. I'm telling you that you can be where I can be, watch this, starting next week. See, because God can make you, I'm going to say this because he gave it to me in Africa, and when he gives it to me, and it's a truth, it's forever. God can make you a millionaire in a month. In a month. Now, you follow what I'm saying? So God can do that. Now, right away, you have some people speculating. The reason why they're speculating, because they're applying their logic to how God's going to do that. You try to figure out, God knows what the enemy knows about you, and he'll go around his system. Amen. And he'll have you do it in a way that the devil can't even stop it. Before he tries to stop it, it's already a done deal. Isn't that something? So we're going to believe God to be able to cancel any debt within how many days? Well, some of y'all didn't even answer that. Man, this is, folks, this, y'all got to encourage me now. I am not preaching up here for my health. This is not what I do, folks. I am not here to get your money. I am here to see you grow. I'm here to see you grow. And when I say something, it's your man of God saying it, and you need to be meditating it. Because when you meditate it, God will give you how to do it. All right, let me just cover one more thing here. Glory to God, man. Okay, the last part. Let's do one more. Let's go to let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. So what 2 things I need to have so that this will work for me? Obedience and faith. Okay? I just need to hear God and do it. And believe me, you can't do it if faith is not there. Amen. If faith is not there. All right, let's start reading at verse, I think it's 5. Let's see, hold on. I didn't mean to keep you this long on this. But I really, listen, folks, I want to get this into your system, because if something happens to this economy, I don't want you to even be affected except to read it in the newspaper. I don't want you to even be affected by this. All right, let's start here down here at verse 8, okay? Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, talking about the prophet now, saying, Arise and get thee to Zarephath that belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you, to take care of you. All right? Now, all of that took obedience and faith. Because for him to go to a widow woman, it's going to take some faith. If he had to say, go to Bill Gates, Oprah, somebody like that, you might have just got up and gone right on over there. But the widow woman was usually the poorest one in the community, because her husband, who had died, normally was in the field working. And now she didn't have anybody in the house working. And now she was in dire straits. Next verse. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And she, as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. Now, whoa, hold it, don't move. So he said, Go get me some water. Was she going to get it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then he changed. He said, No, come, wait. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. Look what she said next. She said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She's telling him all the bad news. And Elijah said to her, What? Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake, what? First, and do what to it? Bring it to me, and after make for you and your son. For thus saith the Lord God, here comes the faith now, that the barrel of your meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of all fail, until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Watch this, keep going. And she went and what? Did according to the sayings of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat. How many days? Any day. Now notice, why do you think he called her back after he sent her to get the water and she went? Why do you think he put a halt to that and asked for some food? I'm just speculating now. Why do you think? Don't be ashamed. What? All right. I believe there is a place that you have to come to that is going to take faith to do that. I believe people are giving and throwing a little bit in there, but ain't no faith attached to it. But sometimes God wants to sink you to the level of your faith. He said, All right, you threw that in too fast. Let me give you something else to throw in. You better hear what I'm saying. Because for the spiritual law to be put in motion for you, it's going to take faith to do it. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. We walk by what? Faith. And not by what? Sight. You can be a millionaire in a what? Month. You can have any debt paid off within 7 days. It takes 2 things to make this work. Now give yourself a hand clap. You got it. Praise God. You're going for it. Woo-woo. That's what I'm talking about. That's Wednesday night Bible study right there. Now, I'm telling you, you just say amen. So this is releasing the power, part 3. All right, I'll start reading at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto and with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay. Let's deal with something first here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What do you do? What you do sometimes, and like I teach on a topic like that, and what you do is you take and listen to my tape or something teaching, and then you find more examples of that in the Bible. And as you find those examples, your revelation is coming, you know, as you just find more examples. You know, you don't have to get real deep. You know, a lot of people like to get deep. You don't need to get deep. And, you know, and so forth. So, all right, look what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 29. Well, let me just do verse 30. Let's start there. Correct that. Verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Who of God is made unto you wisdom, unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and what else?
Yes.
Redemption. All right. Let's look at the word sanctification. Okay. Sanctification. All right, now let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, he says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is where? Not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Okay? Now let me correct something, because the Spirit of God just quickened me. My wife and I, when we started giving $5. Because that's what we had. And I'm saying, if you don't have any money, you come in here and get the Word of God. That this is a place where you come to get restored, to get healed, to get delivered. And don't think because you don't have an offering, you don't come. That's not the criteria for coming here. You come because you want to know more about God and so forth. So don't think for a moment that if you don't have anything, you don't come. That's not the game. No. He's not about that. I want you to come. If you don't, you know, some people try to get on outfits to wear. You don't need no outfit. Just come in what you have. Just come. Just, you know. All right. Okay. So love not the world. Now, we're talking about releasing the power. Let's go over to Judges, please. And let's go over to Judges. And chapter 16. Now, this is a story of a man named Samson. And if you know anything about Samson, he was a Nazarite and had taken a vow. Okay? Now, the indication or evidence or the vow manifested or portrayed was that he wouldn't cut his hair. I guess that was the idea about it. And it says in verse 1, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went into her." Okay? Now the word Gaza means stronghold. It means stronghold. Now before that, if you look back in Judges chapter 14, and it says in verse 1, "And Samson went down unto Timnath." Now that Timnath has to do with a warning of the Holy Ghost. Watch it. You're getting too far. And that's what the Holy Ghost's job is. One of his jobs is to convict us when we're going the wrong way. Are you following what I'm saying here? So now he's past Timnath, which means checkpoint. And he's gone down now to Gaza, which is a stronghold. So it says in verse 4, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." Oh, Lord have mercy. "And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, 'Entice him and see where his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver.'" In other words, you're going to be set for the rest of your life. Well, what happened? This was all she needed. The girl went after him. And he liked what he saw. And it's interesting how the world knows what you like. Can I keep preaching tonight? And it doesn't have to be a male or female. It could be something else, okay? But as the Bible says in verse 16, "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart. And he said to her, 'Thou hast not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.'" Now, in reading this and studying this, I don't look at a man that this is talking about. This is talking about a people. It's like the church. And somehow the church lost some strength. And this is a kind of a picture of how that could happen. Because it said in verse 18, "And Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. And she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come upon him at once, for he has shown me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came to him, up unto her and brought money in their hands. And they made so forth and so on." And look at verse 20. "And she said, 'The Philistines be upon you, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as any other times before and shake myself.' And he was not that the Lord was departed from him." Wow. So he lost his strength. And look at the first thing that happened, verse 21. "But the Philistines took him and put out his" what? "Eyes." Satan blinds the mind. But he put out his eyes. He couldn't see anymore. Couldn't get any more revelation. And I think what has happened sometimes is that the church has not maintained its difference in the world. As a matter of fact, it's almost like the church has been a little ashamed of saying who they are, that they love God. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, I'm not saying you got to go out and beat somebody over the head with the Bible. That's not my point. My point to you is that in this particular case, Samson got too close. And as a result of that, part of what was the world came into him. And what happened to the power is the power then got shorted. So he had a power outage. Look over here at Exodus chapter 32, please. In Exodus chapter 32. Now, listen, here's the deal. The deal is that I'm talking about what can happen to people when they're not really made up in their mind that this thing that God has placed them into called the church is good enough, glory to God, to get them to where they want to be. It is good enough, folks. That's what I'm preaching on this blessing. See, one of the reasons why I think people are straight away is because they say, oh, this thing ain't working. You know, some of them got offended and so forth like that. This thing does work. I'm a living proof because I come here with my family, $200 and no place to stay. Look at where we are right now. All over the world. All over the world. So it does work, and watch this. Not once have I called somebody and asked them, can I preach for you? Not once. Are you following what I'm saying? My point to you is you don't have to know anybody at City Hall. All you have to do is know God and practice His word. And a lot of times what we think is that holiness means I got to wear a long dress. No, it doesn't. I asked God, I said, God, what is holiness? He said, holiness is doing the will of the Father. That's what holiness is. And you know, it's a lot of times people think, you know, holiness is they confuse it with righteousness. But my point to you is doing the will of the Father. How about Esther? Esther, now watch this now. Esther was led into a heathen kingdom to be a part of the ladies and harem, and God used her to save the Jews from genocide, from them destroying all the Jews. Was she in the will of God? Yes, and that was holy. Another script you'll see, God told a prophet, I want you to take your pants and cut them out in the back and just, you know, show your buttocks and walk around the town. Was that holy? Come on, you gotta say yes. My point to you is, The two spies from Joshua went into a prostitute's house. Come on now. And made a deal with her that she was going to help them get into the land. Was that holy? I'm telling you now. Now, I'm not telling you to get out here and go out into the whorehouse. I'm telling you that where God sends you, what He tells you to do, you are holy. So this is what it is. And a lot of times people want to know how to maintain holiness in their life. All you got to do is practice faith. Because faith proves that you're in aligned with the will of God. And also faith purifies. You know, look at the three Hebrews. When they went in that fire, they went in that fire bound. Am I right? in that furnace. And when they came out, when the king looked in there, he said, I saw three that were bound, but now I see four in there, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And he said, I see them loosed. So it's interesting, whatever dross is in your life. Dross is that which is, when they purify gold, I guess it is, or silver, then they get all the impurities out of it. And sometimes when we go through that low place and use our faith, what it is doing is burning away everything that will keep you from the promises of God. Are you following what I'm saying? See, when you start walking by faith, at first you're not quite sure if this is going to work. Then you keep walking by faith, you know it's going to work, and you wait on when it's going to work. But you can get so good until you can be like David and say, today. Or you can be like the prophet and say, tomorrow, about this same day. I'm saying this walk of faith will be a joy. It will be something, man. You'll see the devil has shot his best shot on somebody who's out of their mind with mental disorder. And you lay one hand on them, command the devil to loose that person and see him get set free. Man, that's a joy. That's when you're having fun. Say amen to that. So, what happened? Got too close. Look up here in Exodus chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses had delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, up now, make us gods, which shall go up before us. For as far as Moses, this man Moses is concerned, but, that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. And Aaron said unto them, well, now break off some golden earrings then, praise God, and which are in your ears, and your daughter, your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received of them in the hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And he said, these be our gods, O Israel, which brought us up from the land of Egypt. Now what happened? They got in Egypt and got so mixed until what the Egyptians were worshiping came inside of them. Now, once it's inside of them, they hold it. Then they go out to the wilderness and the pressure comes on and it comes out. Y'all didn't get it. All right. So I'm saying that this, what was in the world, came in them. That's not the way this supposed to work, folks. It's what's in you supposed to come in the world. This is the way this thing's supposed to work. And it will work that way if you don't fear the world. Come on now. If you are bold as a lion. If you're not looking and depending on the world to make you somebody, what you need to do is understand, wait a minute, this power that's on my life is going to come through my life. And the way it's going to come through my life is that God is my source and my supply. And I'm telling you, when you choose God and make him that source and supply, there is nothing in this world that can stop you. They might try to stop you, but nothing in this world can stop you. Say amen to that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says this. I'll start reading just a couple of verses. And he says, now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to who? Seducing spirits, keep going, and doctrines of devils. You'll be surprised that some people in church don't believe in the virgin birth. See, I know in here that sounds ridiculous, but there are people in the church that don't believe in the virgin birth. They say, no, well, it's not that, let alone the supernatural. And I really think that is a mistake when we start not believing in the supernatural again. We've got to believe that God can do what people cannot do. Come on, we got to believe that God can do what the doctor said can't be done. We got to believe that God can. Are y'all following what I'm saying? So I'm saying this. I'm saying that Samson lost his power, but then it's amazing what happened. While they were making fun of him, his hair started growing back. Now, what is that telling you? That God is a forgiving God. Man. Isn't that good news? And he's, I don't care how you messed up, God can clean you up. And his hair start growing back. And when it start growing back, Lord have mercy. He couldn't see out of his natural eyes. So he asked a little boy, could you please lead me to the columns that hold up this place? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, please. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And chapter 2 and verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall what? Consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And what is he saying? I believe that God always intended for the church to hold back wickedness. To hold back wickedness. Folks, without compromise. I said without compromise. See, you don't have to be ashamed of who you are. You didn't choose him. He what? Chose you. All right. Let's go to one more place. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis chapter 1. Over in Genesis chapter 1. Now just stay with me on this. Verse 26. And the Lord said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have what? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over how much of the earth? Does that include Chicago? And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon this earth. Dominion. Let me tell you what I put down. The purpose for your being here is to dominate the earth. One more time. The purpose for you being here is to dominate the earth. Now, don't be thinking something else, because this is the first purpose for you being here. And I know you've heard me say it before, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. When the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. He gave you dominion. And I think sometimes we say, oh, the just shall live by faith. Oh, I got to have some more faith. Oh, I got to have this. Why do you have to have more faith? And one of the first reasons you need more faith is you need to manifest the dominion that you have over this earth. Amen. See, faith is not the end game. The end game is dominion. You're just developing your faith so that you know how to execute the word. But dominion is what he wants you to have. And when you got this purpose of dominion, all of a sudden you'll see everything differently. You'll see it through the eyes of dominion. So wait, that shouldn't be going on over there. Nothing should be happening on this earth without my permission. I got to stop that. Are you following what I'm saying? So then once you do that, then go back to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Praise God. Can I have two more minutes for you here? Amen. Say, I have dominion.
I have dominion.
Now, what does dominion mean? It means to control. It means to rule. It means to conquer. It means to subdue. It means to govern. And it means to own it. Woo-wee! The earth is a whose? Lord. And the fullness that what? Of. Now, if it's the Lord's, the Bible says you are joint heirs with him. So what he owns, you own. I said you own it. The enemy doesn't own anything. And what has happened with people kind of coming down, they've said things like this. Well, we are all God's children. That is not true. That is not true. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, but I'm telling you where I am. I'm seated together with him in heavenly places. And God is our Father. Say amen to that. He told them in John chapter 8, verse 44, your father is the devil. And he had to tell them that because they were full of iniquity. They were full of Satan. Satan was telling them what to do. But you and I are not going to come down on them. We're going to get them saved. We're going to get them to see what God is really like. Say amen to that. So Hebrews 1:14, are they not all what? Ministering spirits sent forth to minister what? For them that shall be what? Heirs of salvation. Now, angels that are assigned to you are charged with the responsibility of preserving your destiny. Angels that are assigned to you are charged with the responsibility of preserving your destiny. Say amen to that. So angels are for keeping you on the journey of life until you come to the place that God has prepared for you. Ooh, this is good about these angels, man. And if you go here, you'll see that Abraham used his angels. Then Moses used his angels. Come on. Joshua was confronted by the angel. The Bible says in these last days, you're going to entertain angels unaware, that angels might stop you on the street. This lady told a story. This is when I was up at another church. This was way back when I got saved. And she talked about, this was up in Evanston. And she pulled up in front of her house, and the steps led up to her front door. And she pulled up because she had groceries. And the guy came along, and he kind of surprised her. He said, can I help you with those groceries? She said, yeah. He said, I'm going up the stairs there. He said, sure, I'll help you. She said, seemed like a nice guy. So he was helping her up the stairs and to groceries. And then she went down to get the last groceries, and he gave it to her. And then she took them in her hand and said, thank you very much. And was going up. When she got up three steps, she turned around to just say something else to him, and he was gone. My point to you, in these last days, we're going to entertain angels unaware. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you now that this power of God is with you, because your purpose in this earth is to have dominion. And it's going to start with you tonight. That as I have preached this, come on, your angelic assistance is going to kick in. Say amen to that. And they are powerful, folks. There's nothing more powerful than them. Even Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, he was waiting on a word from the Lord. And the angel came at the end of 21 days. And he said to Daniel, I would have come the first day, but I had a war going on in heaven. I was trying to break through. And I had to call for the archangel Michael, who is the archangel of war. And I'm telling you, if God's got to call for Michael to get you your promises, you will get your promises. You will get your miracle. You will get your healing. You will say amen. Give God praise. Woo-wee! Now these angels are in here right now, and let's give God a shout for the angels that are in here right now. They are in here right now. Come on. They're with you right now. Woo-hoo! These are ministering spirits sent forth, because we're about to take dominion over Chicago. Glory to God. Woo-wee! Now we got all of this. We got all of this, and there's no sense in this being the worst violent summer that Chicago has ever seen. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I announce to the demonic world, I announce to every person that Chicago shall be saved, that the power of God shall break out in Chicago, and we're going to reduce murders to zero. In the name of Jesus. Now speak in the Holy Ghost just a minute. Heki sandala bahaya. Gireba bandala kesetireba. Mundala bahasa talabaha. We are sending angels out right now. Reki sandala baha. Gireba mandala kesetireba. Mundala bahasiterebehia. Biga rasa talabahan. Moroko site. Mika sandala bahaya. Gireba mandala kosete. Ika sita girebamanda la kota rike girebamanda la ka. We're sending angels out right now. They're rescuing people right now. They're taking guns out of people's hands. Inkanda la bahaya. You can't fight this battle without the supernatural. The supernatural is back in the church. The power is back in the church. Glory, 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 glory. Come on, miracles are breaking out. Come on, money is breaking loose. Money is coming, money is coming. Debts are being paid. Inventions are being dropped into your spirit. Glory to God, glory to God.
Awesome God.
Oh God, He's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God, He's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Hey, hey,
our God is an awesome God. Above with wind, some power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wind, some power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Come on, give Him a praise. He's an awesome God. We're coming back to the supernatural. We're coming back to the power of God. We're coming back to angels doing the work. We're coming back to visions and dreams. We're coming back to new inventions. We're coming back to dominion. Glory to God. Woo! Take your seat, please. Ha 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 ha. Ah ha ha ha. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000. Oh, yeah. We're coming up on a time where you're going to speak the word only. Angels going to even go out and do your shopping for you. Glory to God. Somebody say something wrong to you. Angels, they'll go out that night and visit them in a dream and say, take that back. Woo-hoo. Come on now, come on. I'm letting the Spirit of God speak now. Good. Oh, this is good. Okay. We're going to do some more study on them angels. Because they're in here right now. They're packed in here. They're some pretty big guys, too. Praise God. They're looking for something to do. Give them something to do. Hey. My goodness. This is the way it's supposed to be from the first. That angels are spiritual assistants, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. They're supposed to protect you all the way to your destiny. All the way. My goodness. And I think they're different. They're different types of angels. I think they're prosperity angels. They dress kind of like me. And they got a vest on. If you're here, you haven't gotten in on this because you're not saved. This is your time. You're where I was years ago. I'd been in church, but church wasn't in me. Tonight, I want to bring you into the kingdom. 'Cause you